Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Welcome to Poems again. Mark, how are you?
Doing great.
You've had a good week, I trust?
Yes, REM got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so we're all very excited about that here in Athens.
Excellent, excellent, excellent.
In general, doctors don't like to be told what to do. And in fact, organized medicine has tried hard to come up with ways to get doctors to change their behaviors. Organizations like HMOs and PPOs and the VA and CMS have tried to give us incentives and change our practice behavior. This week's poem answers the question, what is the effect of more restrictive prescribing guidelines on GI complications with regard to the prescribing of COX-2 inhibitors? Mark, what did the authors of this study, which was published in CMAJ, the Canadian Medical Association Journal, find?
Well, it's very interesting. Certainly as doctors, we like to complain when anyone interferes with our clinical decision-making. This is a case where that kind of interference may actually have been a good thing. Now, COX-2 selective NSAIDs do seem to reduce the risk of serious GI problems compared with other NSAIDs. About one fewer complicated ulcer for every 200 patients who take them every day for a year. But their high cost has led some insurance companies and governments to limit their use. In Canada, British Columbia had a very restrictive policy requiring a written request and approval by the drug plan VA special authority process. Actually, since it was a Canadian study, it would be a special authority process. Ontario, on the other hand, only required that the doctor certify that the patient had failed three other NSAIDs or have significant GI disease to prescribe a COX-2. So much less onerous, kind of take my word for it, he needs a COX-2. After the introduction of COX-2s, the total use of NSAIDs increased only about 29% in British Columbia, but increased by 64% in Ontario, where they had the less restrictive protocol. And in parallel with this increased overall use of NSAIDs, both COX-2s and non-COX-2s, the researchers saw no change in admissions for GI bleeds in British Columbia, but a statistically significant 26% increase in Ontario over what they would have expected otherwise. This amounts to about two more additional admissions per 10,000 elderly Canadians. So the bottom line is that while COX-2s may be slightly less likely to cause GI complications, we were so enamored of their safety that we greatly increased their overall use and expanded the universe of patients who were exposed to these drugs. This led to an overall increase in GI complications in the population, even though we were using an allegedly safer drug. And that's not to mention the thousands of cardiovascular deaths attributed to this class of drugs. So while we complain, and sometimes for good reason, about prescribing restrictions, they can also be rational and beneficial to our patients.
You know, sometimes we try to do good for one particular medical problem and end up causing an entirely different problem. In this case, it was GI bleed. Mark, are there other examples of when this happens?
Another example of that would be a screening test that if it's negative, the patient might get a false sense of safety or health, and it might make them even less likely to adopt a healthy lifestyle because they've checked out okay. I think another issue is focusing too narrowly, on disease-specific outcomes like ulcer and missing other important outcomes like cardiovascular disease.
Interesting. Mark, there will be some that will read this and get great confidence from the fact that systems like Kaiser or the VA or, in this case, a province in Canada can actually enact policy and change doctors' behavior with a good outcome. Is this something that we can look forward to seeing more of in the future?
I don't know if looking forward to it is maybe the best way to put it as an individual clinician, but I think we are going to see more of it. The amount of money we can spend on healthcare keeps increasing, and we have to find system-level solutions to prescribing more rationally. I think too often our prescribing habits are driven by convenience or local practice or marketing. or patient demand via advertising to patients, and those aren't necessarily the most rational ways to make these decisions. I would love to see objective, evidence-based recommendations that, you know, we do have good guidelines like that that can help us make these decisions in a better way.
Great, and certainly the COX-2s were the poster child for all of those things, marketing and opinion leaders and getting us to change our practice without a substantial body of evidence.
That's right.
Anyways, that's this week's poem. Thanks, Mark, and we'll talk to you again next week. Have a good one.
All right, thanks.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.